All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 5. 1 Kings, chapter 5. First Kings is real easy to find. It's right before 2 Kings.
Say that again.
Now, once is enough. I got enough dirty looks on the first round. I'm not gonna say it twice. All right, 1 Kings chapter 5. Everybody got it? All right, let's begin in verse 1, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to preach from the whole chapter, but I'm going to read the whole chapter. Verse 1, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. In the place instead. All right, so David is no longer the king. Solomon was appointed king. And then we have these words, for Hiram, the king of Tyre, was ever a lover of David. He loved David dearly, knew he was God's man. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants. And unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. The Sidonians were the people of Lebanon, southern Lebanon. And they were skilled, highly skilled at cutting timber, especially the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there. And thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens. Notice that. 70,000 that bear burdens. And 70,000 hewers in the mountains. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone quarers. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house. All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you tonight from this chapter. And I'm going to entitle the sermon tonight, The Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so thankful for how our hearts have been blessed tonight by the music. And I pray that we are now prepared to receive the seed of thy word. And Lord, I ask you to bless tonight. Help me as I preach. Help folks as they listen. And may the Holy Spirit use both to accomplish much tonight. Father, help us to see the point tonight. Help us to get it. I especially pray for the young people, the teenagers, the children, the young couples that are here. And Father, just ask you to speak to hearts tonight and help all of these especially to see the heart of this message tonight. Give us your mind and your understanding. And give us your wisdom, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We all remember the story of how David wanted with all his heart to build the temple in Jerusalem, the house of God. He had built himself a beautiful house, a luxurious house, a house that outdid anybody and everybody else in Jerusalem. God had blessed him richly, and God rewarded him with this beautiful home to live in as the king. And one day David thought, it's a shame that I live in such a beautiful house, and God's house is just a tent made out of goat's hair that has been draped over some poles. And that bothered David tremendously. But you will also remember that David was told by the prophet that God would not allow him to build the temple, for he had too much blood on his hands. From the time David stepped into Saul's place and became the king, he was attacked. He had to fight, and fight he did. And then you had the whole experience with his rebellious children. And then you had the whole experience with Uriah, who was the husband of Bathsheba, whom he had slaughtered. There's no other way to say it. And so in God's heart, David had too much blood on his hands to build the temple as the house of the Lord. But even though David was not allowed to build the temple, much to his great sorrow, he had not been forbidden to prepare for the temple. And we read about that in the scriptures. We learn from the Chronicles about the extensive and very precise preparations that David made for the day when his son, Solomon, would sit on the throne in his place and God would allow Solomon to build the temple. And in the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we read how David did all this preparation and got everything ready for the building of the temple when Solomon took the throne. And when you read the scriptures there, you find out that David hired multiplied thousands of people. And these men spent years gathering and cutting and hewing and decorating with silver and gold and brass and iron and jewels, all of the pieces that would be used by Solomon to build this wonderful structure. Over in the Chronicles, we learn that once the building project began, Solomon's men, Solomon's crew, put everything together that had already been prepared by David. Everything was measured. Everything was in its place. And when Solomon's crew started the work on the temple, everything was done. All they had to do was just take the pieces and put them into place. And the temple went up right before everybody's eyes much quicker than anybody ever thought it would. And it was almost like a prefabricated house. Everything was cut. Everything was measured. Everything was marked. And when Solomon's men started the construction of the temple, all they had to do was follow the directions and just piece it all together. There was no sound of construction in the city because every piece had already been cut and it was already fit to perfection. It was all just lying there, ready to be put into place. As a matter of fact, in Chronicles, you read that the people who lived in Jerusalem were astounded at the end of each day as to how quiet the job site was. And they were amazed at how rapidly the entire project was finished. Now, the strange thing is when you read this fifth chapter of 1 Kings, which I read for you just a moment ago, there is no mention at all of any of this extensive preparation work that was done by David. Isn't that strange? When you read 1 Kings chapter 5, which we just did a moment ago, David's really, other than him being Solomon's daddy, he's not even mentioned. Nothing is said in this chapter about all of the years of preparation that David did so that when the temple construction got started, everything would be prepared. As a matter of fact, when you read 1 Kings 5, you kind of get the idea that the entire building project from start to finish was all done by Solomon. And that King David had absolutely nothing to do with it. But the truth is, Solomon and all the other men owed a great debt to David for all of the years of preparation that were spent making the building that would become the temple. Folks, it would have taken a century to build this had they had to start from scratch. It would have taken forever to build this massive temple if they had started when Solomon took the throne. But David had it all set up for them, and he had it all ready. Now, I think that there are a few lessons that we can glean from this thought. I think there are some things that we can, that can help us as we look at our church and as we look at the ministry that God has given us. There are a couple of things that I call to your attention. Number one, we learn from this, and a great lesson it is, that we owe a debt to those who have come before us. We owe a tremendous debt to those who have come before us. You know, the honest truth of the matter is, there is hardly a Sunday that comes and goes. But what I don't think back to Pastor Baker, and I don't think back to Brother Bowes, and I don't think back to Brother Fellenbaum, and I don't think back to Dr. Smith. We would not have what we have here without their vision and the foundation which they laid in this place. We need to realize that. I think it would be a wise move for all of us to make if we would stop and realize that we owe more to our forefathers than any of us realize. Now, I don't think that the author of the book of 1 Kings meant to ignore David. When a son does something outstanding and says, "Yeah, I did that," I don't suppose that he is intending to slight his father. I went home last Sunday night, and I like to play golf, as all of you know, and I was watching the Masters before church started, but then had to leave and come to church. And as soon as I got home, I put it on ESPN News to see who won the Masters. And of course, the guy that was leading when I left won the tournament easily, handily. His name is Jordan Spieth. He's 21 years old. In 4 days, he made $4.5 million playing. Did you hear the word? That's the operative word. Playing golf. And so as soon as I turned it on, they had a microphone in his face, of course. And he said, in just the few minutes that I watched the interview, before I switched over to watch River Monsters, I like to fish too. But he said a couple of times how thankful he was to his dad and mom for all the love and all the support and all the encouragement and all the sacrifice that they had made on his behalf. Oh, big tears welled up in my eyes. Thank God. You know, so many of them, they just sit there and tell you how they did it. They talk about how good they are. But this young man gave the credit to his parents. It was almost like he felt he could never have done what he did had it not been for the love and the sacrifice of his parents. But you know, it's good to remember our parents have prepared us or prepared things for us. Once we are grown and have a successful career and own a home and have our own family and everybody knows the Lord, we do not often stop to remember all the love and prayers that took place by our bedside when we were sleeping. We rarely stop to think about all the sacrifices that were made on our behalf when we were children. Things that make it possible for us to build our temples. Did you catch that? I'm going to say something here that about probably half of you will not understand, because what I'm about to say took place a generation ago, and that's just not the way it's not today like it used to be. But about half of you will understand this. Do you remember when you ate chicken at home for dinner and it didn't come out of a red and white cardboard box? Do you remember that? Your mother took the whole bird and she put it on a cutting board and she took a butcher knife and she cut that bird into pieces. And then she stood over a stove and cooked that chicken in a huge skillet full of blazing hot grease. You remember that? Now you think you're getting off good because you go get it in a red and white bucket, but it's still cooked in grease. And I, when looking back, I always thought that my mom liked the wings and the back of the chicken more than she liked the breast or the legs or the thighs. I always thought, man, mom really likes the wings and the back. I wonder why there's not a whole lot of meat on those. You see, the reason I thought that is because that's what she always took off the platter once it was set in the middle of the table. Every time. When I was about 15 years of age, might have been 14, but it was somewhere in there, we got in the car one evening, one Monday evening. We got in the car when we got home from school, and we drove down to Huntington, West Virginia, about an hour away, and we went down to meet my dad, who was working down at a power plant down on the Ohio River. And during those years, my dad was out of town a lot, Monday through Thursday, he was gone. And we would sometimes get in the car and drive down to, if they were within an hour's distance, and we'd drive down and meet Dad for dinner. And we went down to Huntington and went into a nice restaurant, and we all sat down. They brought the menu over, and the waiter said, "Our specialty is fried chicken. We make a really good fried chicken." And I remember we were sitting there, and I was thinking, well, I'm not getting chicken. I can get chicken at the house. And I remember thinking, where do you find the porterhouse steak on this menu? Where is that? I was looking for the steak. And all of a sudden, my mother spoke up and she said, "Well, I'll try the fried chicken." And I looked over a little surprised. And the waiter said, "Ma'am, you get 2 pieces of white meat or 3 pieces of dark meat." What would you like to have? And my mother said, could I get 2 breasts? And the guy said, well, you sure can. And she said, that's what I'll take. And we rest of us ordered. The waiter walked away. And when he walked away, I remember sitting there thinking to myself, why did you order the breast? And so I spoke up and I said, Mom, why did you order that? You always get the wings and the back. You always take that. Why are you now ordering the breast? And she just smiled and she said, well, this is a special evening. That's what she said. And I figured it out. When I saw the smile on her face, I figured it out. She always took the wings in the back so that Mike and Cheryl and Dad and I could have the more meatier pieces. That's a mother's love. You know what my mom did for us? That's what your mom's done for you. Thank God for that. Do you ever stop to think you are what you are today? Because of the investment of a mother and father that loved you. And let me tell you, if you still have your parents, you ought to go to them and thank them tonight. You ought to go put your arms around them and thank them for what they've done and what they're doing for you. They're not perfect. They don't claim to be perfect. No parent is. But they instilled in you through love and sacrifice all the things that have made it possible for you to build your temple. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Don't ever take that for granted, young people. Second thing I want you to see here. I want you to notice how vast the preparations were made for the temple. This was not an easy thing David did. Starting with David and continuing on with Solomon, we read about what Solomon did here. But starting with David and then continuing with Solomon and the actual construction, this project encompassed a huge network of people. I mean, literally, hundreds of thousands of people were involved in the building of this temple. That's amazing. It started with David. It ended with Solomon. But thousands upon thousands of people were involved. You read what the Bible says about this. The entire region had a hand in the project from some aspect or another. The sound of the falling of trees in the mountains of Lebanon, the ringing of the bells on the rafts which floated the timbers could be heard on the sea. The sound of the stone being cut rang throughout the quarries all over the area. Thousands of hands were involved in this work. Some of those stones which were used in the walls of the Temple Mount were 30 feet long and 12 feet high. They would have weighed thousands of pounds each. Can you imagine the work involved in getting those stones from the quarry to Mount Moriah? And those stones, many of them, they're still there today. They're still there today. And you can see them today as they make up the Western Wall. I was reading recently where the historian Herodotus wrote that it took 100,000 men to build the pyramids in Egypt. 100,000. So we should not be surprised at the vast numbers of people that we read about here. All of this work and preparation was all done to build the house of the Lord. Think about that. Now, let's flash forward to the New Testament for just a moment. While standing alongside the temple, the one that they built here, it was renovated by King Herod. But when you get to the New Testament, the temple on the Temple Mount, rebuilt, but the Lord Jesus standing by that temple said these words. He said, destroy this temple. And when he said that, he was not pointing at the stone temple made with hands. He was pointing at himself. And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And when you read that, you'll find out that the people that were there that heard him say that began to laugh. Because they knew how much was involved in the preparation and in the planning and in the organizing and in the building of that temple. But just think, folks, of the preparation involved in our Lord coming to this earth to take on a body of flesh so that he could die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Think of the preparation. Hundreds of scriptures had to be fulfilled. Amazing, isn't it? Thousands of pictures and thousands of types all had to be fulfilled. For you see, he had to die according to Scripture. The songwriter said it this way, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And just as David and Solomon's efforts all worked perfectly, and the temple was built without one hitch, God's plan of redemption all worked perfectly, and our redemption was provided without a hitch. Amazing. Then thirdly, I want you to notice how various may be our services for God. Now, we all know in the construction of any building or any house, it takes a lot of people to get that done. I mean, you just stop and think about it. You got to have the excavators, and then you've got to have the concrete poured, and then you got to have the framers, and then you got to have the plumbers, and then you got to have the electricians, and then you got to have the drywallers, and then you got to have the guys that put the shingles on, and then you got to have the siding guys, and then the heating and the air conditioning, and then the bricklayers. I mean, it takes a lot of specialties to put a structure together. And I want you now just to think about the thousands that were involved in the building of this great temple in Jerusalem. craftsmen, laborers, masons, finishers, woodworking masters, goldsmiths, silversmiths. Oh, it would have entailed thousands upon thousands of different people with all sorts of talents and abilities to get the job done. And while they were all busy for one end result, they all had various tasks. The Bible says that the inside of the temple was paneled with cedar wood. Just think of everything involved in finally getting to that final result. That's the last thing they did was panel the inside. Just think of how much work and how many hands touched the wood that finally ended up on the walls inside. Mercy, it boggles the mind. The tree had to be cut, and it was cut all the way up in the mountains in Lebanon. It then had to be brought down to the sea. It then had to be put on a raft. It then had to be floated down to Joppa and brought then across the plain and up to Jerusalem. And then new hands had to get a hold of it. And it had to be planed. And then it had to be put in the sheets. And then somebody had to take it and put it on the walls. I'm telling you, folks, it would have been a monumental task. From start to finish, thousands of people would have touched that wood. And with each touch, a certain skill, a certain talent was used to perfect a piece of paneling that would be used to adorn the house of God and give it its beauty. Now, is that not a beautiful picture of the temple that we are building today? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but it is God who has given the increase. You see, Pastor Baker planted, and then Pastor Smith came along and watered, but it's God that's given the increase. It's God who has blessed. It's God who has, this is his church, folks. Paul would later write in that same book, there are diversities of gifts. Oh, thank God there is. Wouldn't it be awful if Dennis had to play the trombone? Thank you, Brent. Where'd you go? Thank you, sir. Huh? It would be that bad. Yeah. He said it wouldn't be that bad. Yeah, it would be. Trust me. I mean, aren't you thankful that there are people that do what they do so that we can worship the Lord? Thank God for that. I mean, thank the Lord for faithfulness. In the building of that temple, every gift and every talent was needed. The materials went from one pair of hands to another. Each did what he could do, and all collectively were sanctified for temple service. And together, the finished product brought honor and glory to God. And folks, that ought to be how we approach building God's house today. In the service of the Lord and of his church, there is room for all manner of skill and activity. Oh, some can teach, some can sing, some can encourage, some can administrate, some can have great faith, some can do this, some can do that, and all can win somebody to Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah. But the bottom line is to step up and say, I can do whatever You see, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is for somebody to step up and say, I can do that. I can do that. You know, I'm not trying to be unkind here. I can be unkind without trying. But there are too many choir members sitting out here who ought to be up here. There are too many teachers. Folks, this is not about me. It has nothing to do with me. No, this is about the Lord. Amen. This is not my church. This is the Lord's church. He just allows me to be the pastor of it, but this is not my church. We often say, yeah, in my church. Well, really, technically, that's not true. It's not yours. Oh, that we would realize that building anything for God takes everybody doing their part. And when we do, man, that's when it clicks. Wouldn't it be awful if we came in here one Sunday and nobody came in to sing in the choir? And I would look at Brian and I'd say, Brian, where's the choir? Well, nobody wanted to sing tonight. Really? Wouldn't it be an awful thing if Pastor Campbell said, ushers, come, we'll receive the offering, and nobody walked down the aisle with a plate in their hand? And John would look around and say, Pastor, did you fire all the ushers? No, I didn't fire them. Where'd they go? Where's the ushers? We didn't want to do that tonight. No, we've all got to do our what we can. We all do our part. And when we all do our part, and that choir loft is full, and that orchestra pit is full, it stirs our hearts. Would you not like to be a part of building something for God and seeing God get the glory for it? That's all I've ever wanted. That's all I've ever wanted, is for God to get the glory. And I hope that's your prayer tonight as well. Man, you read this chapter and this is where the sermon came from. Actually, Friday morning. The date I've got on this sermon is like, it's not tonight. But I saw, because I already had a sermon ready for tonight. But I sat down Friday morning and I read 1 Kings 5. And as I read that, I thought, where's David? Where'd he go? This is all about Solomon here. And all Solomon did was just take years and years and years of David's foundation work and said, okay, boys, we got the green light. Go for it. Can you imagine some guy walks over and says, well, where does all this stuff go? Solomon says, you know, Dad gave me a book. What did I do with that book? Oh, there it is. Here. There. Yep, that's it. All right, we'll have this thing up in no time. He had it all ready. He had it all ready. But thank God there were people there to work. Thank God there were people that had it all ready. And thank God for Church the Open Door.